This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we see the first photos and details of the Atari box. Apple now supports PayPal, Shopify teams with eBay, and Canadian firms have trouble with diversity too. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 124. For Monday, July the 17th, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, another week in the summer. Hard to believe we're already almost halfway, or we are halfway through July already.
You just got to remind me, don't you?
Sorry, man.
And it's less than 6 months till Christmas, and days are already getting shorter. Yeah. I know.
It's okay. You're perfectly safe. You have at least another week or two before the first Christmas stuff shows up at Costco.
I'm not sure I have that much longer, but that's fine because at least until September, I'm in shorts. I've been wearing shorts for probably 2 months already, and I refuse to wear pants. And I'm going to keep going until at least September, possibly October.
Good for you. Well, with this humidity, I'm, you know, been wearing shorts as well. But it was a slightly nicer day today. So, you know, you can't go really long. But you know the other neat thing about this time of the year? That if I had cable, I would start hearing Staples doing their it's their most wonderful time of the year ad.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
genius.
Yeah, it was 15 years ago.
I know, but it's still genius.
It's gotten a little long in the tooth for me, but I don't have cable either, so lucky me.
Lucky you. All right, so we're going to move right on to our quick hits.
The Northern Lights are expected to glimmer over much of Canada last night, tonight, and tomorrow, and it could reach as far south as southwestern Ontario and Vancouver Island, which are not on par with each other latitudinally, but that's okay. So, of course, the Aurora Borealis, a.k.a. the Northern Lights, this is the result of an unusually large coronal mass ejection, also known as a CME, back on July 14th. So that was a few days ago now. And that, if you don't know what a CME is, it's a huge explosion of plasma and the magnetic field from the sun's corona colliding with the Earth's magnetic field. That's what makes the Northern Lights. The U.S. NOAA organization provides aurora forecasts and says that it could actually be seen possibly as far south as New England in the U.S., which is way below their usual range. So if by some miracle you hear this tonight or tomorrow, go check it out.
Definitely. If you can, try and get out of town, away from lights.
Yeah.
And definitely give time to get your eyes to be dark sensitive, because even if, you know, they'll be visible, but they'll be kind of, I've seen them before here, and it's kind of like you're going, is that it or not? And, yeah. You know, so it can really vary. It's actually a good idea is if you have a camera, an SLR, that can do like a long exposure, mm-hmm. you'll probably have better luck taking some shots of the horizon and then see what you get.
Sure.
So that'll show up like that. Anyway.
All right. Well. In other news, Shopify announced that it's getting together with eBay to let merchants list and sell their products on eBay directly from the Shopify account. So the integration adds to the stream of channels that Shopify integrates its platform into, including Amazon. Oh, yeah, including Amazon, BuzzFeed, Facebook Messenger, and Pinterest. I didn't know you could buy things through BuzzFeed. And of course, Shopify continues to look through for partners with the biggest and best platforms to bring new sales opportunities to its merchants. And this is pretty hot on the heels of the Shopify Exchange, I think it's called, mm-hmm. where you can actually buy and sell stores, Shopify stores. I was actually checking that out today. Some interesting prospects there if you're looking to buy an existing online store with all the relationships and all that already.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I think you're seeing a lot of players because they see the, you know, we used to call Walmart the 800-pound gorilla in the room, so I'll say the 800-ton gorilla in the room was Amazon. So I think we're seeing a lot of the various players lining up to try and compete there.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, Atari has teased the Atari Box. They teased the Atari Box at E3 this year, promising a brand new Atari product. And in an email to fans today, I didn't get mine for some reason, even though I asked for it.
I got mine.
I asked for it to contact a CanadianTechPodcast.ca, and I got squat.
You got squat because they know. They know you.
Yeah, anyway. It turns out this is like the Atari version of the NES and SNES Classic. It's a brand new Atari 2600 that'll have past and current content, according to Atari. The box itself has SD card support, an HDMI port, 4 USB ports, and it's going to be released in classic 1970s wood finish, and of course a very sexy one in black and red.
Yeah, looks really good. You know something, Derek? I just had a brainwave. I'm sorry. It happens so rarely, so I got to say it. Now that we're having all these old classic gaming consoles, do you remember the old Mattel Intellivision? Or are you too young for that?
That I'm too young for. Okay. I just didn't know anybody who owned one. Everybody I knew owned an Atari instead.
Yeah, it came out just a little bit after. But what was neat about it is they had the controller on it. Had like 9 buttons. It looked like a phone with like a little round disc at the bottom. Very unique. Okay. But one of the awesome games for that was baseball. Someone should reintroduce that and use your smartphone as the controller.
I think something. No.
I have an old Intellivision.
It's not the idea itself that I'm not a fan of. It's the potential for people letting go of their cell phones as they swing.
Well, you didn't swing. It wasn't like that. It just the controller. So when you got a game, you got these little overlays that would go over the actual numeric keypad. Okay. So for example, the baseball game, it allowed you to, if you wanted to throw to second, you just pressed, the little picture of second base.
Right.
It gave you a lot more options. It was really cool. I still have my Intellivision from a buddy of mine somewhere in storage. And baseball was the most awesome game for that because it was made for the controller. I'm just thinking that would work. So, if anyone tries to steal that idea, you heard it here first.
Yeah, you've got copyright and prior art already out there. Perfect.
There you go. So, all right. That's it for the quick hits.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies, delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In an era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it has become more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. That's why Olio provides its clients with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide. A team that is big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and the Home Depot, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420 or visit oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank Olio Digital Labs for continuing to sponsor the Canadian Tech Podcast.
Awesome. Okay, let's get on with our topics of the week. I found this one last week, but we didn't get time to go with it. I was still wanting to verify some things. This is a story from the CBC. They did a survey out to various Canadian tech companies. Mm-hmm. Based on diversity, because they say they value diversity. Particularly in light of after Donald Trump signed an executive order blocking citizens from 7 predominantly Muslim countries from entering the U.S.
Yeah.
A lot of these countries signed a pledge opposing the ban. So CBC asked 31 tech companies if they collected data on the diversity of their employees and whether they would share it. Only two were willing to do it. I'm a little bit disappointed there. A third hub is saying they were preparing to conduct its first diversity survey and release the results. It expects to publish a report in its progress every 6 months thereafter. This was not only surprising to me, but it was surprising to quite a few people. I think part of it is, yeah, there's still a challenge. There's still a lot of these companies that are, as the article says, that are mostly white, mostly male. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just my own opinion, they don't really want to advertise that fact for various reasons. I'm sure some companies are trying, but, you know, I really wonder about this. Derek, what do you think?
I think that these Canadian companies are on the same path as the American ones, even the ones that are publishing reports, which is that they know it's important. They're trying. How much effort they're all making is obviously going to vary between them. But everybody knows that they haven't reached any sort of significant amount of diversity unless the company is rather small and founded by a visible minority of some kind. It's just not there. So, they're going to be hesitant to release that information. That doesn't, personally, I don't feel like it prevents them from speaking up about diversity and thinking it's important as long as they're working towards it. That's unfortunately, normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it should be. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying that, especially when, Facebook has 8,500 employees. Only 140 of them are 145 of them are black. 12% of Apple's employees are Hispanic, but only 4% of Google. Keep in mind, Apple has a ton of retail locations, so they might be including retail employees in that number, which could potentially skew the results. So it really depends on the makeup of your company, where those employees are. Like, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. I would think that Apple's number of Hispanic employees is probably much, at head office, is probably much lower than 12%.
Right.
And so, okay, great. So if that's true, great. Apple employs a ton of Hispanics in their stores. Well, that's great. But that means those people aren't making nearly the amount of money that the predominantly white people are at head office, being, hardware engineers or software developers or that sort of thing. So yeah. I would think Facebook's and Google's numbers are far more accurate in the sense that those are actual developers and managers and that sort of thing, not retail employees. Mm-hmm. This is par for the course. Again, I'm not saying it should be. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying that's the current state, and to expect anything else from Canadian companies, I think is disingenuous. And realistically, nobody's there yet. Nobody has a significant... Or I should say a representative population at their head office or regional offices, not including retail, that actually reflects the population as a whole of the country or countries they operate in.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And plus, when you have a company like Apple or Facebook, which does have a lot of international offices, Apple is famous for having a rather large Irish office. Well, there aren't a lot of immigrants in Ireland, so not going to help. But even if you brought it down to just the Canadian offices or just the American offices, right or wrong, you're still going to find mostly white people, mostly mm-hmm. men, and we're all still we collectively as the tech community, the royal we, mm-hmm. are all still working on it, and hopefully, sometime soon we'll actually have a representative workforce that actually represents the population more or less, within a few points.
I'm in agreement with all of you with all of that there. Exactly. Companies have to keep trying. It can't just, and the other thing is the report states, it can't just be, you produce the report and that's it. You know, you have to have some strategies there.
Mm-hmm.
I know the article mentioned one of the founders of Ladies Learning Code for getting women involved, and the, you know, up to very recently was a predominantly male work environment. So
yeah.
I think there has to be steps, and I think companies have to continue to be involved in this.
Absolutely. On the flip side, just to end on this, on the flip side, D-Wave, which is a quantum computing company out in BC, I'm going to be slightly stereotypical here, could be predominantly Asian for two reasons. Yep. A, quantum computing is being led right now by a lot of Chinese researchers. Mm-hmm. And B, BC, higher than average Canadian province population of Asian folks. So, yes. You know, that could be on the flip side, where Asians are overrepresented, probably Asian males still, but could be overrepresented compared to BC's population demographics. Mm-hmm. So right. It can go both ways.
Good point. Okay, we're going to move on. This is something I still struggle that it's 2017 and Apple hasn't done this yet. I'm sorry, but it's, you know, Apple devices and services now support PayPal as a payment option.
Yeah.
Yes, for all those people that don't want to use a credit card or have a very small balance, you can now, for your App Store, Apple Music, iTunes transactions made through any of your Apple devices, iPhone, iPad, iPod. It's just a matter of a quick account settings, and you add it as a payment method. And it also means you can also use the platform. Once you've signed up, you can complete transactions on the Apple Watch and Apple TV. A good idea. It's something, because I don't like using my credit card for a lot of things unless I absolutely have to. So this is something that's a nice option. I wish Amazon would do this, but that's a whole other story. I'm kind of pleased. Now, again, I'm not the Android person. Android's had this for a while, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah, since it started.
But you can't use PayPal for everything.
Okay.
Like, I can't use my PayPal account for to pay for Google Play Music.
Interesting.
So, okay. Yeah, well, it's not, hopefully. It's there, but it's certainly not universal. So I will, for once, I'll give Apple props for going all the way. Not that I'm planning on using it, because I try to use my PayPal account as little as possible.
Right.
Mostly because as a vendor that accepts it, the rates are terrible, the processing rates. But it's, for people who do want to use it, great. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be available in 12 different countries. It should be showing up as we speak.
Already has, yeah. Should have been over the last few days.
Exactly. So, good news on Apple's part.
Mm-hmm.
Our next column is, it's an opinion piece. Again, I found on the CBC, and it was kind of funny, because there was another phishing scam, and I had a few encounters of fake news the other day, or the last couple of days. So this is from Ramona Pringle at CBC News about why we keep falling for online phishing scams, downloading viruses, stuff like that. And it's more the psychological side of it, not necessarily technology.
Right.
But it's an interesting read, because it's like, you know, part of the thing it covers is, you know, people generally want to help other people. So if they see something, they think, this will be useful to other people. And the way social media is set up these days, it almost encourages that, and things you want to be fast with. You want to, even in some cases, you want to be the first to quote unquote break the news.
Sure.
And you have to be really careful. And of course, some of the other things with social media, if you're not careful, you like something and you end up sharing things. Like, I know Facebook's starting to crack down on that now. That's a big thing. Now 80% of hacking breaches are still done with either stolen or weak passwords. But, you know, 1 in 14 users were tricked into following a link or opening an attachment without giving a second thought. So I'm thinking of this, you know, this whole Jaden K. Smith hoax. For those who didn't get the email, it was going around saying, if someone named Jaden K. Smith has to be your friend, don't do it. They'll hack your account and cause the souffle in the oven to flatten, and you know, who knows what else, right? Which was just totally fake. There's also you know, I saw a couple of the today, there's still sites out there which say, oh, we're parody sites, but people think they're real news. It's ridiculous. I saw a couple today. One said Paul Bernardo is going to be released to a halfway house. And the other one said Charles Manson was going to be released to a halfway house. Oh, geez. People just spend a few minutes thinking about that before forwarding it on. I tend to be one of these ones. I tend to be the annoying guy that says, here's the link from Snopes. Check it out. But because, yeah, I just get tired of it.
I've done that before. And then, of course, people are like, oh, you're such a know-it-all. I'm like, no, I care about your the fact that you're sharing fake information as real, or reacting to it as if it's real, when it most certainly is not. So I'm actually trying to educate your butt so that you stop showing how stupid you are.
Exactly. I clicked on one of the links in the article, and the five most commonly used subject lines in worldwide phishing emails are invitation to connect on LinkedIn, mail delivery failed, returning message to sender, dear, insert a bank name here, customer. One that looks like it's possibly in Spanish, important communication. And the other one is undelivered mail returned to sender. So again, a lot of it's using social media. You really have to think about it. If you're not expecting an attachment from someone, like, for example, if out of the blue, Derek sends me that attachment with nothing else on it or all that, I'm going to be really suspicious, because it's like, what's going on? You know, so nothing, you know, it doesn't hurt if you want to double check with the person saying, hey, did you send me this? We often see a lot, at previous jobs I was at, where, you know, people would say, oh, have this person get my email address, or why is this person sending out? Well, you know, quite often it's a third party whose email address book's been hacked, and they're just sending the crap out.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really have nothing else to say. I've tried to mess with a Nigerian scammer before, which was kind of fun. You were close about Spanish. Number four there is actually, I think that's Italian.
Okay.
Comunicazione importante.
Important communication. I figured that.
The translation was correct. So good on you for that. I think that's Italian. I mean, thankfully, I've never fallen victim to a phishing scam. I always check the links. Most email clients, or, you know, if you're using your browser, then definitely your browser. If you just hover over a link somewhere on the screen, you will see, potentially in the bottom left corner, if it's your browser, or bottom right, you'll see the actual URL that's leading to. And if it's not just a normal URL, a few things it could be. It could be like, if the email is being sent through like MailChimp or Constant Contact, it could be their shortened URL, right? So that's not always super easy. But if you click on it, and it doesn't, you got to check the domains on these things. Like if Scotiabank, right? It's scotiaonline.scotiabank.com. If you don't see that in there and it doesn't have an SSL certificate, do not go plugging your information in. Same with Royal Bank or TD. If you don't have a Bank of America account, don't bother opening the email. If the email starts with "God bless you, my son or daughter," you know, "I hope this email finds you well," don't bother, or just read it, laugh, and delete it.
Like, you mean a Nigerian prince doesn't have 15 million for me?
He's got 15 million something. It's not dollars, though.
No, it's not. No, it's
maybe 50
not.
Million laughs once he takes the money from you.
Well, and you know what I find too is, at least a lot of banks and businesses now are specifically saying, we do not put links in our emails. Come to our site.
Right. Like Canada Revenue Agency. I sign up for their email notices. They don't have a link back to the CRA website in their email.
Correct.
It's just telling you that there is something to read. And that's it. You got to go to Google or cra.gc.ca yourself or whatever and log in from there. So they are not, because government agencies, banks, you're right, don't include links to go log in or anything like that. Not usually, at least. And and they won't ask you over email for your password or your PIN or your card number or anything like that. They have all that information.
Yes.
They have all that on file somewhere. It might be encrypted, but they have it. So they don't need to ask you for it.
Right. So there we go. There's your security lesson of the night, kids, from Uncle Derek and Uncle Stuart. Okay, moving on. We need another one. Amazon's apparently working on a messaging app called Anytime. Yet another messaging app.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly. This apparently this is from AFTV News, appears to be an all-in-one feature-rich service that could even rival social networks, with a focus on messaging, voice, video calls, and photo sharing, with users being able to apply filters to pictures and videos, at mention other users, use sticker and GIFs, and play games. Users would be able to call other individuals or groups. It sounds like someone just took everything and just kind of threw it all in the blender and, you know. So in other words, it could solve a lot of things, or it's yet another one. Do we really need it? I know recently in the Dev London Slack group, the little bit of a debate came up about messaging apps. Now, you know, we all kind of agree there needs to be kind of, you know, some people use Spark, some use Slack, what's Microsoft One? Teams?
Teams, yeah.
Like there needs to be some sort of base universal so they can talk to each other.
Because, well, we had that, though. It's called XMPP.
But does anyone do that, or does everyone just keep three clients open?
Okay, well, XMPP is the protocol, right? And then you can write your own clients to run on XMPP, like Jabber and like Google Talk used to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's a secure messaging standard. You can use it for Internet of Things devices as well. Like, it has super low bandwidth requirements. You don't need a ton, but you can also do WebRTC on top of it. So you can do like video chats and even social type stuff, like mentioning people and things like that. So like this is all doable. Apple uses XMPP to deliver their push notifications, Catapush, Buddy Cloud, Movim, Salut à toi, which is a Python based multi-front-end XMPP client with microblogging, file sharing, games, etc. Like, this is all, it's all doable. It's already there. The issue is that everybody wants to build their own stupid thing, and instead of interoperating with others, because interoperating is not easy. So that's another problem to solve. Right. But XMPP exists. Like, it's, I don't understand at this point where Amazon thinks they would get the user base. And even if they do, this is going to be US only. They don't have the Amazon Prime numbers that would make something like this work outside of the US at this point.
Well,
everybody's on Facebook. So
yeah, like where's the market? You know, if they can come up with a way to, you know, unify some of this that says, hey, here's a nice clean, you can still do stuff you want to do on Slack, you want to do on Teams, etc., then maybe. But yeah, I agree. Like, do we need another one? And this is what, you know, it kind of, you know, I'm reading some of the comments from the original our article, and it's kind of the same thing. People are saying, why? So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon surprised us before. So there we go. All right. Our last story, OpenText out of Waterloo. They've launched an AI assistant. Apparently, it's going to help business analysts with decision-making and task automation. Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, so they revealed this at OpenText Enterprise World 2017, which happened in Toronto recently. And so it's for their Magellan platform. That's part of their enterprise information management portfolio. Sorry, folks, a lot of enterprise stuff here. And the EIM portfolio also has other products like the Content Suite, Process Suite, Experience Suite, Discovery Suite, and Business Network. And so basically, what they're looking at here is businesses are always collecting more data, enterprise data sets have grown larger and larger. And so Magellan tries to bring analytics, algorithms, and statistical models to open text Magellan customers, obviously, with better decision-making, better business insight. And so part of that, of course, is an artificial intelligent agent that specifically it can handle massive amounts of data. It integrates across any enterprise information management architecture to reduce the time and the amount of expertise needed to actually get good insights out of all that data, and automating some tasks as well. And basically, OpenText feels like Magellan has the ability to analyze really important things like customers, employees, invoices, documents. Of course, giving AI access to more people, as well as data scientists, and let those data scientists make custom algorithms for business analysts and just normal everyday users at the company that they work at. So, yeah, it's a fairly niche application of AI, but it's certainly something that the types of customers OpenText has, I'm confident will appreciate. And right. It's a good example of something that's probably somewhere between general AI and deep learning AI, where it has a specific task, but it's still got a pretty wide depth or breadth of stuff to look through and a little bit of depth. Chances are they'll have to tune it going forward, as, you know, looking at customers, employees, invoices, and documents, those are four very different data sets. Mm-hmm. You know, figuring out that five employees out of 2,000 are getting better mental health outcomes out of their, you know, employee assistance program or something like that than others, that sort of thing is going to take some time to actually pull out. But if you have somebody who knows what they want to look for, certainly they'll be able to do it. But I think the real value will eventually be when the AI platform can actually dig that stuff out by itself.
That's one of the big things with the amount of data, the sheer number of data being added every day to all over the world, to companies and things like that. This is where, you know, Google started doing with their search. In late 2016, OpenText acquired Dell Enterprises' content division. Mm-hmm. So again, a big play there. So yeah, we more need the ability. We have all this data, gigabytes and petabytes and terabytes and, you know, massive amounts of data. But now how do we find something that's useful out of it? And that's something, you know, not only bigger enterprises are looking for, but even the small ones. Because if you look sometimes at these small businesses, what they could have, and they might, you know, they definitely will have a gold mine of data that they, you know, they can leverage to help give products, hopefully, that their customers want. So
yeah,
definitely a good idea, and something as well we'll basically keep an eye on. All right, moving on to something else we also love keeping an eye on, our good friends at CodeShip.
CodeShip is SaaS-delivered continuous integration and delivery solution that lets you ship your apps with confidence. You can choose between CodeShip Basic or CodeShip Pro. CodeShip Basic is a simple testing and deployment service with pre-installed continuous integration dependencies that works right out of the box, making the average setup time less than 3 minutes. Or, of course, you can give CodeShip Pro a try. CodeShip Pro is a fully customizable CI and delivery service with native Docker support, and it is a lot easier to use than Jenkins. It makes it easy to test and deploy your microservices and push to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes, and it comes with a really convenient local command line tool that lets you run your builds locally, helps encrypt your environment variables, and guarantees 100% parity between your development and production environments. So both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. And CodeShip loves open source projects. They're always free on CodeShip. So visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you.
And as always, we thank CodeShip for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. All right, stuff we like this week. Derek, I see You usually use a line I use. Zip, zero, zilch.
Nada. I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. I've been busy with other things.
That's all right. All right. Well, mine's actually just one, a store I've gone to for years. And I was thinking, I was there last week. Forest City Surplus here in London, Ontario. And also online at fcsurplus.ca. Great.
There we go. Sorry, back up. Great what?
Great surplus store. Absolutely awesome. They have things. Military surplus, tools, all sorts of good things for hobbyists, but even also electronic geeks. So, for example, we got this new mixer for the podcast. I needed some cables for it, so I went down there, and they had pretty well everything I needed. It's almost one of those fun stores where you go in, and it's just worth doing a browse sometimes. You never know what you're going to find, but there's usually something you'll come out with. I've been going there for years. They're just a really good store. Good place. Not much more I can say, but as I said, I just picked up some cables from there for good prices. And their website's good too. You can order online, all sorts of surplus things. And that's Forest City Surplus.
Cool. Yeah, I actually picked up a few Nortel switches there a couple of years ago.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, they would have monitors and old PCs, and they have their famous stereo room, car stereo room, which is all like sealed off. And you know, it's one of those ones you close the door and you can feel it before you hear it if they're testing stuff. So pretty cool. Nice. All right. You might want.
Sorry, back up. What was that?
Sorry, I was saying, what have you been up to?
I had another soccer game last week, obviously, in practice. So I got 4 more weeks of soccer coaching left. We had a council meeting last week. It went pretty well. And I spent the weekend in North Bay, a family reunion up there. And finally got the pool fully erected this weekend. It was given to us. And so we weren't on the May 2-4 to, you know, Labor Day schedule this year. Did a lot of pre-work 2 weekends ago now, if you include this, like yesterday, last weekend. Right. So a week and a half ago, got a lot of pre-work done and the pool up itself, and then started filling it up, and then we finally finished filling it up this evening, actually. So we just got to get it cleaned up, get the salt in there, get the pump running, and we'll be swimming.
There you go. The kids will be happy. I bet they just can't wait.
They can't wait at all. They're really excited.
That'll be good. That'll be nice. So you said you're doing the saltwater one?
Yes. Yeah, the people that gave it to us is somebody who's on Kathleen's Dragon Boat team, and they just didn't want it anymore. So, they've got what I found out was that a saltwater pool just uses the salt to generate chlorine. Which is a nicer way of doing it than just dumping in pure chlorine into your pool. It's got a chlorine generator. I've figured out, and we've got some pool salt. We're gonna throw it in there. Everything's all hooked up. Should work fine. We'll test it out tomorrow.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. As for me, not the best of weeks. I'm a victim of cutbacks at my full time job. So I'm right now looking for something else to pay the bills. So if you know anything from a land admin or all sorts of things, you can always contact me and we'll talk.
Windows system admin, storage expert, backup expert.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah. I'm a huge generalist. I've been through a lot of different things over the years. I'm a quick learner. So that's the thing. And in IT, you're always learning. So that's one thing people have to remember. I did get my desk reorganized and cleaned up. I was actually, here's a bit of a funny story. I was actually able to, I used a couple of old shoe racks to hold up the monitors, the wooden ones. And I needed one more. And I went down to the Men's Mission thrift store, and it was right there at the door. So that worked well. Bunch of purging. I also went to the airport and on Sunday and checked out Vimy flight. That was a bunch of rebuilt World War I aircraft that went over to Vimy Ridge.
Yeah.
I did actually a blog post at stuartclark.ca. You can see some pictures there as well. So,
okay, cool.
So yeah, that's what happened there. All right. I think we're almost out of time. So I just want to say, don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM. wherever else you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter. Please retweet us when we tweet about new episodes. Share them on our Facebook page. Yes, we have a page. Don't forget to like that, or even just go old school and tell a friend about us. You can also send us an email with feedback. We love feedback at contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca. So is there anything else before we close out for the evening?
No, as a matter of fact, my oldest son just walked into the room, so I think it's a good time to end so I can find out what he's after.
There we go. Okay, so for episode 124 for Monday, July the 7th, 2017, my name is Stuart Clark.
My name is Derek Silva, and your name is?
Kian.
Thank you, and be well.